Hi, today is March 13th, 2016, and this is Mobile Views Podcast number 153. I'm Todd Ogasawar with my good friend, John Westfall. And today we start off with our long-discussed but never, well, not that you know, never broadcast conspiracy views mini podcast within a podcast. So the Conspiracy Views Podcast is Google's DeepMind subsidiary has a Go plane program called AlphaGo, which has beaten the Go Masters, ranked either one or two in the world. I can't figure out if he's one or two. But anyway, he's one of the best in the world, if not the best, Yi Sodol. And it beat him in the first three matches, but the human redeemed himself in game four. Although, as John was telling me before the podcast, it looks like AlphaGo made some kind of weird move that allowed him to win. I was never very good at Go, so I would even have no idea even if I looked at the moves.
Yeah, I have never played Go, so I just assume that the computer is toying with the human at this point. Yeah. for the enjoyment of all the other AIs that are watching.
Right, and I am so bad that my grandfather used to give me, let's see, what did he give me? He would give me a 9-piece advantage. So basically, I could place 9 pieces on the board before he placed his first piece, and I still would lose. So that's how bad I am. But at any rate, I did not inherit that thing from him, apparently. At any rate, so in our conspiracy views theories, this is one more step towards Skynet's AI. Is now, you know, I think 15, 20 years ago, when the chess algorithms and chess software became good enough to beat human grandmasters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, didn't it beat whoever was the world champion back then? Anyway, back then.
Yeah, Kasparov.
Yeah. I remember the AI people saying, you know, Go is so complex. It is so orders of magnitude more complex than chess that we will not see a computer, an AI software beat a human grandmaster in our lifetime. Yeah. I guess it depends how old you were 20 years ago.
Yeah, some of them probably did die. So. They were 93 at the time, Todd.
Yeah,
and
yeah. But it has happened in my lifetime, so that's kind of scary.
Well, what do you think you won't see? Do you think you won't see an AI, you know, be able to... We already know AIs can drive cars.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you what I hope I don't see. I hope I don't see a T-800 model on the streets. That's all I want. I don't want to see, you know, Android Arnold Schwarzenegger clones running around.
Ah.
That would be scary.
Well, just wait until we find out that that's what replaces, like, surgeons or something like that, you know.
I think that's already happening.
Yeah. But I'm talking about in mass, you know.
Okay. But I think I just read the other day that some kind of AI surgery tool or have reached the point where they can take for example, a surgical resident or intern, maybe, you know, somebody with not a lot of surgical skills and actually perform successful surgery, even though that person may not have the skill level actually necessary. So
this is all scary. Going to mean that in about 20 years, there will be the take-home surgery kit. And you'll just operate on your friends, and it'll be a perfect sort of arrangement.
Well, you know, if you are in the military and you need surgery in a battlefield situation, that and you know maybe you have a skilled medic, but who is not an MD or an RN or anything, that could literally be a lifesaver. So who knows? Who knows? On the other hand, Skynet.
Yeah, you'll just have that pesky love for a good quart of oil every so often.
That's right. Okay, so that ends this section of conspiracy views. Although there is another conspiracy view item coming up. And that is Microsoft's newly released, I forget what they actually call it, but if you go to the Microsoft Office blogs, they have a new migration tool that lets you migrate all your notes from Evernote to OneNote. Now, I moved from OneNote to Evernote because I couldn't stand OneNote. But, you know, with Evernote sort of fading into the sunset, I'm a little bit worried, and I may actually use this one day. You know, assuming Microsoft doesn't kill off OneNote, and doesn't appear to know.
This is the OneNote Importer Tool, is the name of it. And I'm actually very tempted to try it on my Evernote corpus because I have something like 7 or 8 gigabytes of Evernote.
Holy cow.
So I'm actually kind of interested in firing up a Windows machine over here and letting it try it. But yeah. We'll have to see. That is definitely an interesting ability, and I'm glad to see it. Obviously, you could go the other way. Evernote's been able to import from OneNote, mm-hmm. but now you can go back and forth, so that's kind of cool. I'm actually thinking about – I've not been a big OneNote user in many years because I went to Evernote in about 2010 and never really went back. But I have thought about for structured notebooks using OneNote because that is the one thing that OneNote does much better than Evernote. If you actually want to have what looks like the equivalent of a paper notebook
with tabs and sections,
tabs
yeah.
and pages named and things like that. So I've thought about when I build resources for myself and others, doing them in OneNote because it just has a more intuitive sort of styling to it.
Yeah,
so,
it might make a good lab notebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing as part of the new role that I've taken on, in addition to being a professor, I'm also coordinating the first year seminar program at Delta State, and I will be putting together sample curriculum for my instructors, and that means I might use OneNote for sample lesson plans and resources and things like that.
Nice. And repeat something John said and pointed out at least is John said he needed to bring out a Windows machine. That's because this tool only runs under Windows currently. It will not run mm-hmm. if you're using Mac or Linux. So you need a Windows box to effect this importer tool to migrate from Evernote to OneNote. I might try it too. I assume it doesn't destroy your Evernote as it moves it. It doesn't literally move it. It copies it, I assume, since it says import. That might be worth a try. I wonder if it uses up your not SkyDrive, OneDrive space.
I don't know where else it would live. I assume it has to.
Yeah, so if you only have 7 gigabyte OneDrive, which I assume you don't. I assume you grandfathered into 25 gigs.
I'm actually grandfathered somehow into 140 gigs.
Wow. Okay.
So you're one good. Of mine. I don't know how, but I'm very happy about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I need to go look at mine to see what happened. I have a few
other accounts that are at the 25 level too.
Yeah. I clicked the thing so I could keep my, I think I have like 30 something gigabytes free. And I'm not sure how big my Evernote is. But at any rate, Evernote is still one of my favorite note taking tools. I use it every day. But I am worried about the financial health of the company. They seem to be shedding employees. They're definitely shedding products. And it's something that, having gone through the loss of a couple of web services over the years, I need to keep my options open.
Yep, very true.
Yep. Okay, and before we get to our main section, we're going to be talking about travels today. I just wanted to know 2 articles that I wrote for Extreme Tech over the past week, and one was a big surprise to me at least, and that is Microsoft SQL Server for Linux. I thought I was reading it wrong when I saw that announcement, but apparently it is now in a kind of a tech preview mode. If you want to test it out, I think it's a private tech preview mode, so you need to go to Microsoft somehow and get it, and it will be officially released next year, 2017. It looks like it's not a full SQL Server, something about core features or something, which I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know what features they consider core, but it looks like something maybe you can use for replication, that sort of thing. It's a cheap replication box. The other one is one of my favorite topics, and that is Android 6 Marshmallow is on a grand, huge number, huge, as some politicians say. 2.3% of Android devices are running Android 6 5 months after its launch. By comparison, I think iOS 9 is on something like 77% of all iOS devices.
This is just so sad. Android is such a nice platform. I really wish they could get rid of this problem and actually get people up to the most current versions in a timely manner and not in this sort of...
Yeah.
here and there sort of way. It really is. As someone who enjoys technology, even though Android is not my platform of choice right now for most things, I still want to see people being able to use the latest version of the software and not stuck in this kind of weird limbo that that they are currently in.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem on two points. One, for developers, it means that when you see a release, for example, Android N, which is unnamed, but I guess it's going to be Nutella or something. Android N, the next version of Android, Android 7, was released in a preview mode this past week for people with Nexus devices. I did not upgrade my Nexus device. But if you're a developer, it means that if you develop for it, you'll be on 1% of the devices 5 months after it's, you know, a couple of months after it's released, or 2%, half a year after it's released. Which means if you're using new features to attract customers, you're not going to get, most of your customers are going to be, you know, on a different platform.
Yeah, and that's completely pointless. Why would you ever be excited about anything Google announces at its I/O conference if you knew you weren't going to get to use it and actually get customers in with it?
Right.
It's heartbreaking.
You know, and because I think when I wrote the article, I think I found 70-some-odd% of Android users are still on the last two versions of Android. So, you know, not only are they not able to take advantage of the newer features of in Marshmallow and the upcoming Android N, but they also probably have some security problems that are not being patched.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's bad news all the way around. And since Android is the dominant, you know, mobile operating system, it's kind of the Windows of the mobile space these days. And it's got the same problem Windows has, right, where people are still using XP and that sort of thing. They're, mm-hmm. you know, three generations behind. I know one financial institution is running Windows 2000.
Yeah, I still see XP in the wild quite a bit, and, you know, we don't think that's acceptable, but yet you also see versions of Android in the wild that are still very much unpatched and unacceptable.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the main section of our podcast today, and this is John's suggestion. It's a really good one. Is he suggested we talk about travel essentials. And of course, you know, when John and I talk about travel essentials, we're not talking about, like, clothing, things like
that. Well, I mean, that is a travel essential for most of the places I go.
Yeah, but, yeah, they're not clothing optional places.
You know, usually. Generally, I don't know how you travel, Todd, but I tend to take
clothing.
I do take those. But, you know, I tend to take a bag that has my technology and my work, in essence, and I also then take a bag that's got clothes and toiletries and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the first bag in this case, the travel gear bag or the work bag, because I don't take some of this stuff to work every single day with me, right. But definitely some essentials that I take when I travel, and I thought it'd be fun to talk about today those things as well as the things maybe that have dropped off the list. You started adding that, and so it made me think a little bit about what has dropped out of that bag over there.
Before we get started, you know, I know not everyone flies when they travel, but for me, being Hawaii, I can't go anywhere outside of the state. In fact, I can't go outside of my island without flying. So, you know, I have a link to the FAA October 31, 2013 press release about what can be used on airlines from that day forward, and I'll link that in the show notes on mobileviews.com. But I have a sneezing fit. So, John, why don't you get started on what's on your gear bag, and I'm going to take care of my nose.
Okay. And I will note, since you talked about flying, that I don't – when I do fly, I don't check bags. So I've always tried to figure out a way to carry exactly what I need but not really be cavalier about space, because generally this is all fitting into bags of carry-on and a personal item, I believe, as the industry likes to call them, or the extra junk, as most people would like to call it. So my travel gear bag holds my MacBook Pro and its charger. I have not been able to get away from taking a full computer with me everywhere I go, because I still have web servers and other random things that I have to keep an eye on. And even though I can do 99% of my administration through an iPad, there's that little bit extra every so often that you need the full computer for. And plus, the computer runs a virtual machine with Windows, so it's a Mac and a Windows box if I need it. I carry my iPad mini for sure because it's where I do all of my reading and leisure time consumption of content. So if I'm in a hotel room at night, the iPad mini is what I'm going to be using to read. And I might carry the iPad Pro and the iPad Air if I think I'll actually use them on that trip. So there are some times when my bag resembles the interior of an Apple store. It's the MacBook Pro, the iPad mini, the iPad Pro, the iPad Air, and an iPhone in my pocket. So yeah, that can happen. I recently just bought an extra long lightning cable so that I can plug in wherever the outlets happen to be. I'm not trying to leave my phone across the room or something like that.
How long is it?
I believe it is a...
like 3 meters or something?
It's. I think it might be at 10 meters.
What?
No, it's probably just 3 to 6, somewhere around there.
10 meters is like 33 feet.
Well, you're right. Let me actually look it up. It is probably a 3 meters. I told you I haven't used it yet, so I haven't actually unwound it completely to see how big it is. It might be 10 meters.
It could be. I'm not sure what the maximum distance for lightning is.
You know, that's a good point. I have never looked into the attenuation specs on lightning, considering that last time I was even looking into that was when I was talking about IE 1284 cables. Yes. When I taught A+ certification years ago. So I will figure that out.
Okay. I was just curious.
We'll assume that I'm not probably... probably 3.
Is it something you bought from Amazon?
Of course.
Oh, well, put it in the notes. Put the link in with your little tag.
This is, of course, how I know where I'll find it, is that it'll be in my Amazon order history.
All right. And why are you carrying an extra long lightning cable? Because that intrigues me.
Because sometimes in hotels, the outlets where I plug in at are not conveniently anywhere. Mm. And I don't want to have to get up and go wander over to wherever my phone is. I'd rather have my phone nearby.
Okay.
So, yeah, these are 10 feet.
Okay.
These cords.
Okay.
From Anker.
10 feet. Oh, yeah. Good brand.
Yep. So I then have my 2 USB 3 outlet Belkin charger. This is the one I've talked about in the past, but it's got 2 amp to both USB ports, so I can charge any device off of that. I carry an encrypted 2 terabyte external hard drive because they're just so darn small. Why not? This carries all of my movies and music and whatever I might want on the road. And it also, because it's 2 terabytes and I don't have particularly a lot of digital life, it actually carries pretty much everything digitally over the last 10, 15 years that I've hoarded. So I feel very comfortable if I were to get home and something were to happen to what I have here, I actually have everything on that 1 2-terabyte. And I update that regularly. I have a little backup script that I run on various machines that backs up to that hard drive. I carry a pair of Bluetooth headphones and regular headphones. These kind of are interchangeable. I've used the Apple earbuds for a while now, but the Bluetooth headset kind of changes depending on which one I'm using at that point. A few little small multi-tools, a Swiss Army knife if I'm not flying, different multi-tools if I am flying that fit under the FAA regulations. 2 to 3 external batteries, so bigger batteries that have more capacity, smaller ones that can throw in my pocket so that I'm never out of power if it's a heavy day on the iOS devices. Fitbit charger and wristband, HDMI to mini display cable, that way any TV I come across, I can project movies off of my laptop.
I lost your audio for a second.
What?
I lost your audio for a second. So if you can repeat, I think right after Fitbit, I lost your audio.
Oh, HDMI to mini display cable.
Okay.
So I can get whatever's on my laptop up to a big screen. Then I have a wallet that has a ton of credit cards and other random things that I never use. And some extra cash, so if I am out traveling and for some reason I need that credit card I hardly ever use, I have it. Mm-hmm. Passport if necessary. And then a 12-megapixel digital camera with built-in GPS, Apple Watch, and that's what I'm carrying right now. Now, there have been a couple of things that have dropped out of the bag over the years. I stopped carrying any kind of paper reading materials just because I don't really need them for anything. I've got plenty of iPads plenty of power for them. And my Kindle. I have a first-generation Kindle over here that's still kicking. I can still get it up and running. It still syncs and all that. I just I haven't really needed it because I'm comfortable reading on the iPads.
Yeah.
Everything I take. It sounds like an awful lot, but it does fit into a pretty small carry-on bag.
Yeah, I think I carry just a hair less than you do. So no notebook, but I do carry an iPad Mini 4 and a newly acquired iClever folding Bluetooth keyboard to replace that Microsoft Universal Mobile keyboard that doesn't work, which they won't repair or replace, that I ranted about a couple of podcasts ago. And a Moto 360, which is paired to an Android phone. Two power strips for redundancy. Adapters for non-US power adapters. I picked up a 5-port Anker USB charger hub for travel. I use a 10-port at home. Not sure I really wanted to carry a 10-port. It's a little bit... It's not that much bigger than a 5-port, but I just didn't want to carry it. Some spare Lightning and micro USB cables. A pair of portable USB chargers. And one of them, the Hutu TM05, can act as a Wi-Fi hotspot, so you can plug it into an Ethernet jack, and it can become a Wi-Fi hotspot. It can also act as a kind of a NAS. You can plug in a thumb drive or USB hard drive into it and access it over Wi-Fi from your Android or iPhone or iPad. And a conventional wired earbuds and alleged... August, which is the name of the company, active noise canceling earbuds. I say alleged because, you know, I've tested it a little and I still haven't convinced myself it works the same way that my other full-size noise canceling headsets used to work. And by testing it, I mean I would put it on, turn on a noise cancellation, put my head near, you know, like a fan or in a washing machine when it's on, and see what kind of noise reduction I get. And I'm just not, I don't know. I just can't figure out what this thing is doing yet. But it's got 4 stars on Amazon, so hopefully it's doing something. I guess I'll find out when I'm actually in an airplane if it's actually helping and do some A-B testing so I can turn it on and off. Unlike John, I don't carry a Bluetooth earbuds because it's just one more thing that needs to be charged, in my opinion. And so I'm trying to get rid of that. The tools that John carries always get packed in my shaving kit. So, you know, no knives on a plane, that sort of thing. Batteries, Fitbit One, and a 12-megapixel camera with a GPS and Wi-Fi, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, after I got through this list, I thought, well, what has dropped out of my list? And things that have dropped out of my list are a full-size notebook. The last one I carried was a MacBook Air, which isn't exactly gigantic, but it's bigger than I really would want to carry, and it's a big charger, of course. I used to carry a travel analog modem, and this is before modems were built into notebooks, if you can imagine that. So you'd have to have a separate analog modem that plugs into the serial port, and then you plug the modem into the, you know, an RJ11. And I never did this, but I had friends who used to carry little toolkits around to disassemble the phones in hotel rooms so they could connect their analog modems to the wires of the phone. Because, you know, some hotel rooms didn't have RJ11 jacks. The telephones are hardwired into the wall in the old days. So I know this is kind of mind-blowing for young people, but that's the way it used to be in, you know, the Jurassic Age.
Once you disassembled your hotel's phone, I assume the hotel liked it if you put it back together. So that is...
Well, that's why you had a toolkit.
Yeah.
As I said, I never did it.
Were you nice enough to wire in an RJ11 jack for the next person, or was there etiquette about this?
No. I mean, this is you had to take the wires from the phone, inside of the handset, so there was no place to put RJ11.
Wow, I just
should go find a kit.
Small acts of vandalism that happened in the past that I knew nothing about.
Yeah, and you know, some people used to carry these analog. I mean, they're huge. These analog cup modems, so you would actually put the handset, the earpiece, and the microphone that you pick up. You would put the handset into these cups that basically took the sound from them and did the transfer. So then you didn't have to disassemble the phone. But they're gigantic. Like I said, they're gigantic. You'd practically need a bag for it all by itself.
Well, much better to just strip the wires and, you know.
Yeah, it's easier. So that was the old days. I used to carry a spare Ethernet cable for my notebook. I used to carry a full-size iPad. And, oh, this one also blow people's post-Jurassic mind. I used to carry a CDRW disk, you know, read-write disk, because that's how I used to back up files. So I would take my, I had a digital camera. Thumb drives didn't quite exist yet, or were so small they were useless. And so what I would do is I would back up my, you know, my camera files to my notebook. That's backup number one. And then I would, from a compact flash card. And then I would stick a CDR disc, and I'd have like one for each day. And then I would burn a disc of that day's photos. So, you know, depending how long the trip was, I'd be carrying, you know, 5 to 10 or 14 discs with me. And I just burn a disc every day.
You were just ahead of your time and so far behind your time, too.
Eventually, it's nice to carry USB drives and thumb drives, which I no longer carry, because I know you still do, but I don't carry notebooks, so there's no need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And full-size noise-canceling headphones, you know, the kind with cans on them, not the mm-hmm. earbuds. But they're just too big, although they do work, so now I'm kind of wondering how this is going to work. Yeah, travel Wi-Fi router, that dropped off my list, although I have one. And John and I had to turn off our cameras because we're starting to get drops. But I actually have a shrink-wrapped D-Link travel router, wireless travel router, that I've not opened it. I don't think I'm going to use it. I just carried a TM-05 with me. It's much smaller. And, of course, you know, the days before we had smartphones, pocket PC or handheld PC.
Yeah.
And this will, again, shock the younger people among you. Back then, pocket PCs and handheld PCs didn't have Wi-Fi or GPS or cameras. So if you wanted those functions, you had to carry single-function PC card or compact flash cards for each one. So one card for Wi-Fi, one card for GPS, one card for camera. And, of course, you couldn't use them together unless you had some kind of dual PC card backing. Did the iPad ever have a dual card? I don't think so.
Not that I recall.
Yeah, just a single card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it's quite amazing when you consider today that your phone has everything built in, right? Wi-Fi, GPS, camera, and more. Tremendous amounts of storage. This is all stuff we had to carry in separate little boxes and mm-hmm. cards and so forth. It's huge change since the days of yore, and quite frankly, we're much the better for it. Although travel was a lot easier, you know, prior to 9/11, so. Seats were wider. I just read that, or heard in the news that United Airlines is reducing the width of their seats from, I think, 19 inches pitch to 17.
So, well, that's great considering that my shoulder span is 18 inches.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you know, they don't care about passenger comfort or the people next to you, apparently. They just want to squeeze you in.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, I'd be fine about this if I was collapsible.
If you're foldable.
Yeah, if I was John Fold mode, then yeah, sure.
Well, you know, this is a bit off topic, but, oh gosh, what is the name of it? The three body problem? Last year's Nebula winner, a science fiction novel winner, the Chinese novelist who wrote it, I think it's called The Three Body Problem, and its sequel is Dark Forest, and there's a third book that is out in China but not in English, which I'm waiting for. In that book, there's a race, an alien civilization that can dry themselves out, dehydrate their bodies, and be stored in a much more compact form, so that's how they travel in spaceships and stuff, I think.
I'm all for that. You know, and even as a plus, you don't even have to fully rehydrate me when you take me out. You know, you could just
leave on some of the water.
Blow me out to like half of my current size, and I'd be pretty happy with that.
So, yeah, travel has become a lot less convenient. Well, I don't know about convenient, but a lot less comfortable than it used to be.
Less fun.
Yeah, seats used to be wider, and there used to be more leg space, and
you used to have real food. Planes.
Oh God, okay, I don't miss that part. But yeah, there were a few bad things. Yeah, smoking on planes, that was the worst. But real food was nice.
Yeah,
I kind of miss having real food, and you know they used to give you hot towels too,
mm-hmm.
in coach.
What is the purpose of the hot towel anyway?
It's to wipe your hands and face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I thought you were just supposed to throw them at people. It's been so long since I've seen them.
Like at the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the purpose. You wipe your hands and your face and you kind of feel refreshed and clean. And quite frankly, I bet you transmit fewer germs because now your germs have been transferred or killed by the hot towel. So
yeah.
Less likely to get your fellow passengers sick. I wish they would do that again.
Well, this has turned into a very waxing nostalgic use podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, this has been really useful for me since I'm going to be taking a little trip soon. And this is actually a good list to remind myself of what to take.
Well, that was actually how I came up with most of my list, was looking at the checklist that I have for when I travel that has every conceivable thing. And I just kind of, I use a piece of software called AnyList on iOS that lets me go in and uncheck a bunch of them before the trip and go, yeah, I need that, yeah, I need that, yeah, I need that. And then when I take the trip, I can check them off as I'm packing them in the bag. So
yeah. And, you know, I need to correct something I said on Twitter. In fact, I need to correct myself on Twitter later. On Twitter, I was talking about the rumored iPhone 7 and its lack of a 3.5-millimeter headphone jack. And sort of wondering, and you responded to me, what are we going to do in airplanes where you can't use Bluetooth headsets? Well, I checked the FAA.gov site, and apparently you can use Bluetooth headsets on airplanes. So I stand corrected, or sit corrected, as the case may be.
That's interesting. I suppose that the reason they want Apple Watches in airplane mode would probably be for Wi-Fi, then.
Yes. But even then, if you have Wi-Fi in a plane, you can leave your Wi-Fi on, according to this press release.
I don't think. I we're going to get to the day where airplane mode won't have to exist.
One can only hope. Because, you know, I see a lot of people. I mean, I turn my stuff in airplane mode when they ask us to, but I see a lot of people that leave they're talking on their phones as we're taking off, and they've got Bluetooth headsets on and so forth and so on.
The story I always think is funny is a few years ago, during Antenna Gate, I ended up on a blogging field trip with a bunch of other bloggers at a company that purely exists to do RF testing, and they were explaining how devices like the iPhone, how you run those tests and what it means, and this was all during that whole Antenna Gate scandal.
Right.
And we were out at dinner with some of the executive leadership and the engineers from this company, and someone asked about interference on a plane and could it really take down a plane. Mm-hmm. And the guy, several of the guys who were execs in the company who travel a lot, said, we've been guilty of sitting in the plane and we go to land and we go, okay, let's turn our phones back on, turn off airplane mode, and realize we never turned them on airplane mode. And, or you're flying and you get below 10,000 feet and all of a sudden your phone rings and it's like, ooh, well, I guess I forgot to do that.
Yeah.
And, so I think de facto airplane mode is dead now. I think a lot of people just forget to turn it on.
Right. Or don't care enough to do so.
Yeah, or don't care enough to do so. But, the government moves kind of slow.
Yeah. If it's a rule, I try to follow it, but it sort of annoys me when other people don't. But if it's not a danger to me, then I guess I can get not so anxious about it.
Yeah, please don't grab someone's phone and,
hurl
it at them. Or
shove it down their mouth or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they'll get you kicked off the plane real fast.
Yeah, yeah, you want to make sure you arrive at your destination and not
uncuffed.
Back at your origin. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
You want to be able to go free.
Okay, so on that cheery note, be free, people. Uncuffed. Mobile Views Podcast 153, Tadagas, Orjan, Westfall. We will talk to you in the next podcast.